This week, there was a tremendous simcha in Klal Yisrael. Rabbi Ephraim Fischer Weinberger and his wife, who had been waiting for 34 years for a child, finally embraced a baby in their hands. And it was really a simcha for the whole of Klal Yisrael. And I think it's very much connected to what we read about in this week's Edra. When Miriam, she waits for Moshe Rabbeinu by the river to see what's going to happen to him. We know that after Moshe Rabbeinu had given birth, Yocheved hides him for 3 months because the Egyptians are out looking for every male baby. And she can't hide him anymore. So she places him into a basket and puts him into the River Nile. And the Torah tells us that Moshe Rabbeinu's sister Miriam, she remains standing at the Nile to see what would happen to Moshe. And the Gemara tells us that she was rewarded for this, that years later when they're all traveling in the desert, the whole of Klal Yisrael are in the desert, and she gets harassed for talking Lashon Hara about Moshe Rabbeinu. She's quarantined for 7 days. She can't be with the rest of the Machaneh. She can't travel with them. But Hashem instructs the people to stop traveling and wait for 7 days. The entire Jewish people are waiting in order for Miriam to recover from her quarantine of 7 days, and then they can continue to travel. All this whole reward was because she waited for Moshe to see what would happen to him. Now, why was that waiting so big? Such a big deal that she would have this huge reward. You know, maybe it was curiosity, concern, but either way, why is it so great that the entire nation wait for 7 days in the desert? Now, we have to understand what was going on at the time. At the time, when they were throwing all the male babies into the river, when Amram heard that, Amram, who was the leader of the Jewish people, Miriam's father, he decides, rather than having a child and risk that child being killed, he decides to divorce, and the rest of the nation follow his example. But Miriam goes to her father. She says, "You can't do that. That will prevent the birth of boys and girls." And Amram listens to that advice, remarries Yocheved in public, and so that everyone would emulate him. And soon Yocheved becomes pregnant, and Moshe Rabbeinu is born. And what happens after that is that Miriam, when she receives her reward all those years later, it wasn't just for standing at the River Nile, but it was for her steadfast emunah and refusal to give up hope when the situation seems so lost. And it was that maintaining hope was the key to her future reward. The Ishbitzer brings out this powerful idea of not giving up hope in the most incredible way. We know the halacha is that if one loses an object and gives up hope of ever getting it back, Yeush, giving up hope, then the person who finds the object is allowed to keep it. But as long as a person has not given up hope of recovering his lost object, then the finder is not allowed to keep it, says the Ishbitzer. So we see from here that a person's hope is the only thing that connects him to that object. He's lost a possession, he can't use it, but his hope alone still binds him to the object. But once the person's given up hope, he's cut off his connection. He's had to that lost object, and therefore the finder can keep it. And that's why losing hope is so destructive. Whatever the situation, as long as one keeps their hopes alive, that there remains a potential cure, there's a potential Yeshua to the crisis, then there's a hope to see that Yeshua happen. If Miriam had given up hope, then that last connection to the future deliverance of Klal Yisrael would have been cut off. And that's why her act of emunah was so crucial. And this idea applies on a personal level. Sometimes people, we can be in situations that there seems so little hope. But the story of Miriam and Moshe reminds us, there's so many ways that Hashem can save us from the most hopeless situations. Just tonight, I'd come back from London, and there we were celebrating our Bobby's 80th birthday. And our husband, our Zaidi, spoke, and he said something which really struck me, that we were zoicha to also have Bubby there, who is Bobby's mother. I know this is complicated. And she was there getting nachas at her daughter's 80th birthday. And our Zaidi was saying that Bubby, she, at the age of 16, she's come on a kinder transport. She had no idea what was going to happen to her parents. And she arrives in England. and Germany was at Britain's door. They were next on the list. And no one knew what happened to Great Britain. No one knew what happened to the whole of Europe. And yet, when Bibi arrives in England, she gets married and they have children. They build a family. It's not too much to say that we, Klal Yisrael, always kept hope alive. And that hope kept the Jewish people alive. Rabbi Chetzkel Abramsky, who's Rav of Lutsk, he was exiled to Siberia. He eventually became the chief rabbi of London. And he once went to visit the sixth Rebbe of Lubavitch. And he shares that one day he was in Siberia and he's talking to the inmates. And it's 70 below zero. Many didn't survive. Many didn't wake up the next day from the cold, from the labor, from the suffering. And everyone was complaining. Everyone had lost so much. There's so much pain, so much angst. And he woke up and like every day he would say Moed Ani. And turned to the Lubavitch Rebbe and said, you know, that morning, I stopped and I asked myself, this is life. This is life. I've got no wife. I've got no children. I've got no health, no dignity, no shul, no community. What am I thankful for? Why can I say Moed Ani? He turned to the Lubavitch Rebbe and said, then I continued, Rabbi Emunah Secha, the ability for me to have Emunah right now is enough. This is enough to say, my life is Emunah, and Rabbi Emunah Secha, and great is your Emunah in me, that I will have Emunah in you. And sometimes a person can look at their life and say, what's going on? I don't see the meaning. This is serenity. This is goodness. Hashem, what do you want from me? Where's the Moed Ani? Rabbi Emunah Secha, Hashem believes in us that we have the ability to hold on. That even if I can't wrap my brain around this current situation, I'll hold on tight and know that each moment I'm fulfilling my purpose in the world. Don't ever write Hashem out the story. You never stop praying. You never stop hoping. You never stop dreaming. Of course, you do what you can do to move forward. But there's no time that we can say that our hope is gone. We learn from Miriam, we learn from Moshe Rabbeinu, that hope is the last to die. Good Shabbos.